We're holding the top of Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of discussing the whole question of what we do with animals or money, or we've been focusing mostly on money. That's stumos, that you designated it for your korbanos of Nazirus, but you didn't specify which one is for which one, versus mefuroshes, where you said, this is for the chatas, this is for the oilo, this is for the shlamim. And then what happens if the person, what happens if it was a woman and her husband was made for her? What happens if it was a man or woman and they died? So we're in the middle of discussing all the ins and outs of that. We left off with that a number of Amuroim had mentioned that the halacha l'moshe misinai that we said, according to Rabbi Yechanan, there's a halacha l'moshe misinai, we said according to Rish Lakish, we learn it from a pasuk, that even though usually we say a chatos, the owner died, goes to Misa, and if it's money instead of an animal, then it goes to the Yam HaMelech, there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that says that in this case of a Nazir, and we said other cases similar to a Nazir, that even though there's chatas money mixed in with it, it doesn't go to the Yam HaMelech. Instead, it goes to Nedava, which is used to buy olos. So now we had Rav Huna telling us that if a person had designated animals, then that would be different. And we said that Tosfos preferred the explanation that we're talking about animals that are unsuitable for the korbanos of a nazir, namely anything other than a female sheep, a male young sheep, and a male ram. So then that would be considered like mefureshes, and when the halacha Moshe Mishinai wouldn't apply to that. So then you'd have the usual din of chatois hamesis. Then we said that if it was about Rab Nachman had added that if it was a balas mum, then that's different, because then a balas mum, we said you can sell right away. You don't have to keep it around for any length of time. But he said not if it was a bar of silver or gold. Then Rav Nachum Yitzchok disagreed and said a bar of silver or gold can also count like money for this purpose, but not a stack of beams that would be used for building, because those you're going to have to keep around for a significant amount of time in order to find a buyer for that. And therefore, now we're concerned that there's so that we talked about yesterday briefly, that you have two ways of understanding what the problem is. One is that sometime during that time, you might actually specify that one of them is for the chatas, and therefore then you can then it's going to be considered a chatas. And the other possibility is it's not even that. Just the fact that you have to keep it around for a while itself is enough of a problem. So now Rav Shimi Ba'ashi had asked the question that why are we making that distinction? If we're saying that the halacha l'moshe misinai is specifically about money, then what are you going to say about birds? If a person bought birds and you're saying that the person bought birds, one for a chatas, one for an ola, and if he bought them unspecified, and then before the kohen had a chance to specify them, then he died. Then we say that the din is that those birds go to Nedava, the value of them goes to Nedava, but why should that be? Based on that logic, it should only apply to money. So the Mefarish actually explains the question slightly differently. He says that the point is, if let's say, for example, forget about the owner dying, let's say, for example, one of the birds flew away, the din is that you just buy another bird to complete the set. The point is, therefore, birds are considered like stumim. So why shouldn't other things be considered stumim as well? Why are you saying that if you bought cows, for example, which are not suitable for a nozer's korbanos, or if you bought beams or what have you, then, or if you designated beams for the purpose, then those are not considered like stumim? Why not? Why shouldn't they be considered stumim any more, any less than birds are? So top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Amalei. So Rav Chista answers Rav Shimi. Velitai Mech says, "New and according to your svara that you're asking the question, Hoditnan, then consider this that we learn in a Mishnah later in the Masechta, Rav Shimon Gamliolai, a heavy shalosh behemus v'leipirish, that if the nazir brought three animals and he didn't specify which one is which, so now here we're talking about he brought the proper animals, he brought a young male sheep, a young female sheep, and an older male sheep, a ram." So he brought the three of them, but he didn't specify which one is for which one. Well, since each one has to be a different type, then we consider it as though he already specified it. So no problem. The one that's suitable for the chatas, namely the female animal, will be brought for the chatas. The one that's suitable for the oila, which is the young male sheep, will be brought as an oila. L'shlomim tikrav shlomim, and the one that's appropriate for the shlomim, namely the ram, will be brought as a shlomim. So Rav Chista says, v'amai, now according to your own logic, Rav Shimi, that you're asking the question from birds, you could just as well ask the question over there. Ha'amrit behem alav kim mefurashes damya. Didn't we just say that animals are not considered mefurashes? Now, granted, of course, before, according to Tosfos, we were talking about animals that are unsuitable for the korbanos. Here we're talking about animals that are suitable. So what kind of a question is that? So Tosfos answers, fine. But if you say that in Rav Huna's case, where the animals are not suitable for the korbanos, then they have to a certain extent the dinim of mefurashin. Tosfos called them before mefurashin b'tarubis. They were specified, but now they're mixed back together, and you don't know which is which. And the result is that all of them have to be treated as a chatas amesa. If we say that, then fine, we would consider over here where it's the right kind of animals, you would consider as though they're completely mefurash, as though he actually said specifically, this is for the chatas, this is for the oila, etc. But if you, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, are trying to argue that the animals of Rav Huna's case, the three cows, should be considered stumim, that we should be considered completely like money, then even when they are suitable for desiros, how can you go to the other extreme and call them completely mefurashim? So Tosfos explains that's the point of what Rav Chista is answering. Rav Shimi, that the fact is that you have three possibilities. You can say stumim completely, mefurashim completely, or mefurashim batar rovas. It's not logical that because it's cows versus the correct kinds of sheep that should go from one extreme to the other. It's more logical that if in one case they're considered stumim, then in the other case they shouldn't be considered completely mefurashin. And if they are considered semi-stumim in Rav Huna's case, and therefore they all end up being, when the person dies, they're all chatas amesa, then Only then does it work out with what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, that now when they're the correct kind of animals, then they're all considered mefurashim. That's one way of explaining what Rav Chista is answering Rav Shimi. And then Tosfos goes on further to talk about, first of all, Tosfos says, so why don't we say that Rav Shimon Gamliel means that once he brought these animals, then afterwards he says at the time when he's offering them, which one is for which. But Tosfos says, I mean, the Loshon Havi Sholosh Behemis Vay Pirish, he brought three animals and didn't specify, means that he never actually specified, he never, even before he offers them already, we can say that this one is called the Ola, and even as far as the various dinim that we've been talking about, as far as Me'ila, as far as if the owner dies, etc. Besides, anyway, Tosfos says, if Rav Shimon Gamliel's point was he has to actually say this one's the chatas, this one's the oila, etc., then there's no chiddush in it. Of course, if he brings an animal that's supposed to be for the chatas and he says it's for the chatas, then it's a chatas. What's the problem? Then Tosfos goes on to discuss more about this in light of the continuation of the sugya, it wasn't Rav Chista answering, by the way, it was Rav Papa. It was Rav Shimi Ba'ashi asked the question to Rav Papa, and Rav Papa on the basis of what Rav Chista said, and Rav Papa is answering him on the basis of that mission. So now Tosfos goes on to say that after all, how is Rav Papa going to understand? The fact is, Rav Chista is saying that birds are considered like stumim. That was Rav Shimi Ba'ashi's question. So what is Rav Papa answering by proving, on the other hand, from animals? You still have the question. Okay, but what is the story with Rav Chista's din about the birds? So Tosfos says that evidently Rav Papa holds that even if you consider that fine, birds can be considered like stumim because only things that cannot be brought as a korban at all would be considered like money for that purpose. So for example, you have what we talked about yesterday, geese or ducks or whatever, then those or in the case of animals, cows, then those would be considered like mois. But the birds themselves could be brought as a korban. Just in this particular case, you can't because the person died. So therefore the rule of mois stumin could still apply. But then Rav Shimi is arguing that it shouldn't be so, and that's how the discussion goes back and forth about that. So all of that is Tosfos's way of explaining what Rav Papa is answering Rav Shimi by Ashi. There's other explanations as well. One of them being from Rabbeinu Peretz that Rav Papa is telling Rav Shimi, listen, you know, you're asking on Rav Chista from what other Amuroyim say. Instead, show that what Rav Chista is saying is not correct based on that Mishnah. Which in fact Tosfos to begin with says that might be a possibility, but Tosfos says it's a little doichik to say that Rav Papa wouldn't hold like Rav Chista. After all, we bring Rav Chista's din in many places in Shas, and it doesn't seem that anybody disagrees with him. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara then. Papa says, am I? Now, based on what you're saying, Rav Shimi, why don't you say, didn't you say that an animal is not considered mefurashis? You're arguing that even when a person brings animals which are not suitable for the korbanos, then you want to consider it like stumim, and you're saying the halacha l'moshe m'sinai should apply to them. So unlike what Rav Huna had said that you have to send them all the misa, instead you would say that the value of them can go to nedava. So yet you see from what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that they're considered like mefurashim. So you could say like Rabbeinu Peretz is saying that Rav Papa is saying you have no reason to bring in Rav Chista's din, and in fact the Mishnah that we just quoted from Rav Shimon Gamliel seems to contradict him. Or you could say like Tosfos, he's not saying that he disagrees with Rav Chista, but he's saying that birds would be a special case because you could bring them themselves as the korbanos. As opposed to in the case where a person is chayav birds, as opposed to with animals where there's different kinds of animals that are not suitable for the particular kind of korban. Omalei, Shimi Ra'ashi answers, that's not a solid proof. Hossam, the difference is, as far as the birds, after all, v'lokach v'osa omarachmana, the Pasuk says that we have to stick with what Rav Chista is saying, and we can't say the Mishnah is contradicting it, and we can't say that there's maybe a difference between that and other things, because by birds, the Pasuk says v'lokach, or v'lokcha, whatever, that a person takes or buys birds, and v'osa, and it says the Kohen does it. And from that we learn, like Rav Chista said, Omer Achmona is what the Pasuk says, and from that we learn, that the only way to have the name Chatos and the name Ola to go on these birds is either when the owner buys them or when the Kohen does them, when the Kohen is makriv them. So if the owner did not specify when he bought them, then we can never consider them mefurish. Which means, therefore, so now we have, again, Tosfos had discussed at some length before the point that maybe we would say that sometime during the time when he's keeping them around, at some time he might have designated them as a chatas, and that would be a reason why to say with things that have to be kept for a significant amount of time, such as animals that are tmimim and can't be used for these kinds of korbanos, or for example beams or piles of beams or whatever, we said that those, since you have to keep them around, there's a concern that maybe at some point you designated them as a chatas. But Rav Shimi is saying the fact is with birds, we see it not so. The fact is, if you didn't designate them at the time he bought them, then the next time they can be designated is when the Kohen offers them. So therefore, there's good reason to say that if the owner dies, then they all go to Nadava. But Hocha Nami, but over here also, or actually the word Nami is the word Nami, according to many Rishonim, is supposed to be taken out because we're not saying Nami out, just the opposite. We're contrasting. We're saying that on the other hand, when it comes to animals, Mi Motis Amrit the Hodin the Chatas Tikra of Oila. After all, how could you possibly say that the animal that was suitable for a Chatas should be offered as an Oila? The fact is, they're two different ones. One, the chatas is supposed to be a female, an oila has to be a male. So each one is only suitable for one carbon. So yes, it's the equivalent of saying befeish. It's the equivalent of specifying and saying this one is for the chatas, this one is for the oila. So Rav Shimi Ba'ashi is saying that you can't really compare birds to animals, because when it comes to birds, there's no distinction. Every kind of bird that can be brought as one carbon can equally well be brought as a different kind of carbon. There's no difference as far as genders. Even an oila of a bird can be male or female. A chatas of a bird can be male or female. Each of them can be doves. Each of them can be turtle doves. And therefore, you can never say that unless the birds were actually specified, and you only have two windows of opportunity to do that, when you first buy them or when the koyan actually brings them as korbanos, then other than that, then you have a right to say that birds are considered sturmin. But you, the papa, want to learn from that to animals and the same din should apply. To animals, that they should be. Actually, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi is saying. So let's go back. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi had asked that we see by birds that they're considered stumim. So why is it by other things they're not considered stumim as well? So now we're saying birds have more of a reason to be considered stumim more than animals. Because it's one thing, fine, Rav Papa, you're bringing a proof from Rav Shimon Gamliel with the three animals, but the difference is they are the three animals are the ones that are suitable for the carbonus, and there's no way to interchange them. There's no way you can say the one that is suitable for the chatas, that instead I choose to bring that instead as an oila, unlike with birds. Therefore, so fine. In that case, then, Rav Shimon Gamliel can tell us that the very fact that you brought a female animal which is suitable for a chatas means automatically that it's a chatas, because there's nothing else that it could be. So fine. The flip side of that would be with birds. Therefore, you could say that animals would be completely mefuroshim. Birds, on the other hand, would be considered completely stumim. But you want to tell me that Rav Huna is going to tell us that animals that cannot be brought as korbanos are sort of in an intermediate state. They're neither completely stumim nor completely mefuroshim. We call them, as we said, mefuroshim b'tarumas. That they're designated, but they're mixed together, and therefore you have a chatas amesa mixed among them. How can you say that? After all, you should compare them more to birds, because each one conceivably could be sold and used for the money for that particular kind of carbon. Similar to birds, where each one of them could be used for any type of carbon. So then if we learn it that way, says Rav Shimon Ba'ashi, then it would come out that the halacha l'moshe Sinai about that you don't have to send them miso, you don't have to send them to the Yam HaMelech, instead you can send them to the Nadava, that we could see that it would apply to even things that are not money. It's not like Rav Huna and Rav Nachman Yitzchok before were saying that it would apply only to money, and therefore it wouldn't apply to bars of gold and silver, and it wouldn't apply to beams. And if Shimi Ba'ashi is saying, on the face of it, we can prove that it's not so. That in fact, this din could apply to other kinds of money as well. Any time you have something where you can't see from the actual thing itself what it's designated for, then we would call it stumim. So the same way as with birds, we would say, since you can't look at any one bird and say this is definitively for the chatas, this is definitively for the oila, because the birds are interchangeable. So it would be also argues of Shmini Ba'ashi when it comes to money, and not just when it comes to money, but when it comes to animals that are not suitable for korbanos, as well as when it comes to bars of gold or silver, or when it comes to beams, then we would have to say they're still considered like stubborn. And then therefore, so the result is they wouldn't be going to the Yam HaMelech or anything. Instead, we could say, or to Misr, to Yam HaMelech. Instead, we would be able to say that they do. Instead, we would be able to say that they do in fact go to Nedava in that case. So in fact, the Rambam paskins that way, that if a person designates an animal that's a balas mum, then it's considered like stumim, or if he designates a bar of silver or gold, then it would be like stumim. On the other hand, the Rambam doesn't seem to deal with the case where he designated animals which Tosfos is saying are not suitable for the korbanos, or if he designates beams. So maybe in fact those we would say are mefuroshim for the reasons that we discussed before, because those have to be kept around for a while until you sell them, and therefore in the case of tamimim you can't sell, once you give them kedushas aguf you can't sell them until they develop a mum. In the case of beams, it's hard to find buyers for them, and therefore we say that those are not considered like money, and therefore those maybe the din of mefuroshim applies, where therefore some or all of it is going to have to go to the Yam HaMelech. Now, getting back to what Rav Nachman said before, we said before on Chaf Vav Amud Beis that Rav Nachman had said that if you designated an animal that was a balas mum, then it would be considered like money, and specifically it would be considered like mois stumim, because after all, an animal a balas mum you can't bring as a korban. So therefore, conceivably, you could sell it right away and use the money for a korban. So therefore, it's the equivalent of money, where it's liquid and you can use it right away. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Hamnona. So Rav Hamnona says, I have a contradiction to that. Do we in fact say that an animal that has a mum is considered like stuma, and therefore that in the scenario that we've been talking about the last couple of blocks, where a person designated such an animal and said that this is going to be towards my korbanos of Nezirus, and then he dies, that we say that the value of that animal should go to Nedava instead of going to the Yam HaMelech? Is that in fact the case? Toshma. So Rav Hamnona says, in that case, I have a contradiction to that from a Braisa. Ketzad Omru, in what case do we say? Now we're going to learn later on in our parak that you have a special din called Ha'ish Megaleach al Nezirus Aviv. You can have a case where a father is a Nazir and the son is a and he had korbanos. He had animals designated for korbanos. And then he died, and then the son is able to take those korbanos and use them as his own. We're going to have a Mishnah on Daf Lamed that's going to talk about Ha'ish Megaleach al Nezirus Aviv. A man is able to do that. He's able to take the korbanos that would have been for his father, but then his father died. Then you have a halacha. Again, we're going to say it's a special halacha l'mesh misina by a nozer that a man can do that. And the Mishnah is going to say that a woman can't. By the way, the halacha l'mesh misina is only about a man. And we're going to talk about there in detail. So now, Braisa says, Ketzad omru ha'ish megaleach al nezirus aviv. What is the scenario where a man is able to be megaleach, is able to shave and bring his korbanos using his father's korbanos rather than having to go and bring his own? So bizman shehoya huv aviv nezirin. So that would be when he and his father were nezirin. Now that's one girsa. On the other hand, Tosfos has a girsa, and Agoris Habach also changes it over here, that bizman shehoya aviv nazir, that when his father was a nazir, but he wasn't yet. Anyway, So two different ways of understanding it. Are we talking about that before the father died, the son had already taken on Nazirus? That would be the Girsa that we have in front of us over here, Huv Aviv Nazirim, that both of them were Nazirim. On the other hand, according to Tosfos' Girsa, the correct Girsa is that his father was a Nazir and the son is not yet a Nazir when his father dies. Anyway, the Hifrish Aviv Moris the Nazirus. So the father then set aside money to use to use for the korbanos of his Nazirus without specifying what's what. So it's Moris Stumim, Ummes, and then he died. The Omar, and now the son says, Hareni Nazir, I'm a Nasra Galeach Moris Abba. Now the son says, I will be a Nazir on condition that I can use the money that my father left over that I can use for my own korbanos Nazirus. That would be the scenario where the son is able to do that. Again, Agois HaBach changes the girsa a little bit to fit with what we said before, that if he said that if he says that, Ein Zeh Megaleach Al Mois Aviv, that would actually not be the case where he can use his father's money. Because in this case he wasn't a Nazir yet. The Mishnah and the Mishnah and Daf Lamed later on is going to deal with this. And there are actually different Girsois and different explanations of what exactly is the scenario. You have actually the Mishnah says over there that if the person says this, then Reb Yossi says in the Mishnah over there that actually no, that's not the case where you can Magdalech on the Zirus Aviv. That would be a case of Yipel and Nadava. Only if he and his father were Nazirim to begin with. So in other words, so you have two different Girsois over here. Is it that we're talking over here according to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, that even if he and his father were Nazirim to begin with, then he can now repurpose his father's money for his own korbanos? Or would that only be when he takes on, or just the opposite, would that be that the only case we can do that is when he's already a Nazir at the time, but not if he's taking on a new Nazirus for that purpose? So the Mishnah continues. Holy Mois Stumos. So if the father had money that was Stumos, that he hadn't specified what's what, Yipul Nadava, then that money goes to Nadava. Hoysaloi Behemoth Freshes. And if the father had designated specific animals, and in that case, then they can't go to Nadava. Chatos Tomus, then the Chatos is going to have to die like a usual Chatois Hamesis because the owner of it died. Oila Tikra of Oila, Shlomim Yikra of Shlomim, and the Oila will be brought as an Oila, and the Shlomim will be brought as a Shlomim. So thus far the Mishnah. So again, okay, we have the different Girsois and the different explanations over here, what the exact scenario is, but the point is we do see, and then the Mefarish actually says that Rav Hamnuna doesn't really want to quote the entire Mishnah. He's just getting the point. He just wants to get to the point that there is a case where Eina Megaleach on the Zirus Aviv, where he cannot use the money for his father's korbanos or the animals for his father's korbanos for his own korbanos, whatever exactly that scenario is, according to the different Girsois over here, whether he was a Nazir already or whether he wasn't a Nazir yet. Either way, we say that if there's money that's Stumim, then it goes to Nadava, and if there's animals that are Mefurashim, then the Chatas goes Lamisa. So Rav Hamnuna says, when we say animals, my lava filo balas mum. Shouldn't we assume that the Mishnah is talking about even when the animal that the father designated is a balas mum? Because after all, since we say over there in the next Mishnah, in connection with the next Mishnah, we say that this din is also that with that later Mishnah, we say that din is also halacha l'moshe Sinai. The fact that there exists a case where the son can be megaleach on his father's nazirus. Is a halacha l'moshe Sinai. Again, halacha l'moshe Sinai is only tailored very narrowly to the specific case that it's about. So if the Mishnah is telling us that there's a case where that distinguishing between Moris Stumim and animals, so we should assume that it means animals of any kind, whether they were Tumimim, whether they were Bali Mumim. In other words, we should consider that Bali Mumim are considered like Mefurashim. So, uh, uh, You can't say, because after all, otherwise, what you would do is you would otherwise, if you consider them makstumim, then we would say that you redeem them, you buy them back from Hekdesh, and you use the money towards the money towards the dump. So shouldn't we assume that that's what the Mishnah is saying? No, it's saying that you don't do that with Balin. And the answer is like, not necessarily Tmima. You could say that the Braisa explaining that Mishnah is talking about only where the animal is a tumim. But in fact, a Baal Mum, yeah, you would sell it and use the money to buy to buy an adult. But Rav Hamnuna continues. But so what are you going to tell me then? You're going to tell me if the animal is a balas mum, then we consider it like stoma. My uya mois. Then in that case, why bother mentioning that? Why is the Mishnah mentioning specifically money? Lema hoisale behema balas mum. Let the Mishnah explicitly say that if you had an animal that was a balas mum, yipul nadaba, then it should all go to nadaba. So why is the Mishnah distinguishing between money and why is the Mishnah distinguishing between money and animals? Where the Mishnah could be the Mishnah, the later Mishnah on Daf Lamed could be distinguishing between animals and animals, between Tumimim and Balas Mum. In other words, the point is Tosfos says it's one thing in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, you have in our Mishnah, it was distinguishing between money. We're talking about where she had money, where the woman whose husband was made for her neder had money, and then there's a different, and then her husband was made for the neder, and we talk about what happens with that. So therefore, we can say that the Mishnah just wants to talk about within the money itself what happens rather than getting into animals. But here, where the Braisa is already talking about animals, it's already talking about we had Mois Strumus versus Behema Mufurashis. So we're asking what status do Balei Mumim have? Do they have a status like Mois, or do they have a status like Behema Tmima? If you're going to tell me that they have the same status as Mois Stumus, then the Mishnah, instead of distinguishing between money and animals, could distinguish between animals that are Tumim and animals that are Balas Mum. So the fact that it doesn't do that seems to show that animals that are Tumim and Baal Mum have the same din as far as this goes. Both of them are considered Mefurashim, and therefore the Tana of the Braisa, the only kind of Stumim that he was able to find, which will go to Nadava, is going to be Mois. But the Gemara answer is not necessarily Hochinami. As a matter of fact, you could say the same din of money also applies to a Balas Mum. Because think of it, balas mum lamai kadisha. After all, to what extent is a balas mum have kadusha anyway? L'dummy, only as far as its money. Fine, dummy, hainu mois. That's essentially the same thing as money. So therefore, in other words, you can say, like we were saying before, that anything that can be right away sold is considered like money. Even we said before when we talk about animals and we talk about bars of gold and whatever, we said that things that can be sold right away then are considered like money. Well, very well, a Baal Mum can be sold right away because you don't have to wait until it develops a mum and it already has one. For the same reason, we said Rav Nachman Yitzchok had said that a bar of gold or silver you can easily find buyers for right on the spot, and therefore it can also be considered like money. So there's no proof from that Braisa. The fact that it's putting a contrast between money, which is strumim, and animals, which are mefurish, and you're arguing that animals means all kinds of animals. No, it's making a distinction between things that can be traded right away, namely money and animals that are balei mumim, versus things that cannot be traded right away, namely animals that are tmim. Okay, the Gemara continues. Masiv Rav. So Rava says, I have another contradiction on Rav Nachman about the animal that's the Baal Mum. So first we're going to bring a long Braisa, which we'll learn some of it today, and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. So we'll discuss that. We'll have a Braisa at some length, and at the end of the Braisa, in the middle of the, right before the Mishnah, Chafches Amar Aleph, then Rava is going to bring up his point that in the Braisa we have mention of a behema, and we should assume that the din applies equally to Tumim and Baal Mum. So Rava says we have a Braisa that goes as follows. Now again, we just talked about a case where a father is a nazir and the son wants to use his father. The father died and the son wants to use his father's korbanos as his own. And we started talking about, and we'll talk about again later on Daf Lamed, the details. Are we talking about the son was a nazir at the time? Are we talking about the son wasn't a nazir at the time? Anyway, so now you have like this. The pasuk mentioned that the person brings his korban, and Tosfos points out there are several places in Parshas Vayikra where he uses that expression. You have by the king, and then by a commoner, where a king when he does something that makes him chayev chatos, he brings a male goat. Everybody else, other than the Kohen Gadol, brings a female sheep or a female goat, and the Pasuk lists those out individually. Each one of them uses the word korbanoi, his korban. So from that we learn, the korbanoi hu yotze, ve'ene yotze v'korban avi. From that we learn that a person can only be yotze with his korban, not with the korban of his father. Meaning, in other words, so even let's say we're gonna go through the Braisa is gonna go through all the scenarios, but in other words, if the father was chayev achatas and then the father died, the son is not able to take that animal and bring it as his own chatas instead. Tosfos actually wonders why we even need psukim for that. I mean, of course, it's a chatas amesa. So Tosfos has that question. The Rosh gives an answer. Let's say, for example, what if here you have he has a son and the son is chayev achatas. Maybe you would say brokara davur. The son is considered a leg, in other words, an extension, a limb of his father, and therefore we wouldn't apply the din of chatas amesa. Maybe that would only apply if the son was already chayev chatas while his father was alive. Anyway, so then you would then maybe you wouldn't say the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So therefore, we need psukim to tell us otherwise. So continues the Braisa, yochol lo yetze b'korbanos shel aviv shefesh min hakala al hachamura or min hachamura al hakala. Now maybe then you would think that what we learn from the pasuk is the son cannot be yotze with his father's korban, but only when it was going from something lighter to something heavier, or from heavier to lighter. So let's say, for example, now within the averus, within the 40-odd averus, the 30-odd or 40-odd averus that make a person chayev achatos, some of them are considered kalos, some of them are considered more lenient, in the sense the maximum penalty for them is kores, or misibidei shemayim. And then you have chamuros, where there's actually missus based in involved as well. So for example, you have, let's say, chelev, dam, and so forth, nida, whatever, those kinds of things. The maximum penalty for them, if a person does them amazed, is kores. There's no missus based in them. On the other hand, for example, you have Shabbos, many kinds of arayas, avodah zarah, and whatever. There you have actual misa b'dei shemayim. So you could say that the Braisa is saying you would think that maybe when can the son not be yotze with his father's korban? Only shehifrish min hakala al hachamura, only if the father set it aside for a lighter avera, and now the son wants to use it for a more serious avera. So the father, let's say, ate chelev, the Mefarish gives an example. Let's say, for example, it was Shavuos Eder, so Shavuos Bitur. So those are the kind of things, even where the Torah gives you a break and says you can bring a korban olav yorid. So those are considered those don't even involve kores, actually. So maybe only if the father did that kind of avera, and then the son did a more serious kind of avera, for example, eating chelev, or for example, doing something that's chayev misas based in, maybe then you would say that the son can't use it. Or even a chamura ala kala, or vice versa, if the father did a more serious avera and the son did a less serious avera, maybe you would say that then the son can't. Maybe the son could be yotze when it was the same category of avera, when both of them did something that was kal or both of them did something that was chomer. No, tamud lema korbanoi. Again, you have another time, three times in those psukim, it says korbanoi. So korbanoi. So again, we learn the korbanoi who yotze v'ene yotze v'korbanoi shalav. So he can only be yotze with his own korban, not with his father's, even in a case like that, even when they're both kalos or both chamuros. So therefore, so he still can't be yotze with his father's korban. And the Braisa continues, Yachol lo yetze b'korban ovir b'behema shehifrish, afilam an akala ala kala min achamura ala chamura. Now, you would still argue and say that maybe a person cannot do that, cannot be yotze with his father's korban when his father designated an animal, an actual animal for a korban, even if it was from kala to kala or chamura to chamura. And shaharei ein odem megaleach b'behemas ovir b'nezirus, because we already said before, when we talked about a son using his father's korbanos of nezirus, we said that if his father left actual animals, then we said he can't use them, because then the animals, we said, are already mefurashim, and then therefore he can't, in particular, he can't use the chatas, because it becomes a chatas amesa. So therefore, you could argue by analogy, the same way as with nezirus, he can't use his father's chatas, the same way maybe he can't use his father's chatas in our case over here, where it's both chaylev or both breaking Shabbos or what have you. Maybe you could argue that he could be yotze with his father's money, even from chamura to kala or kala to chamura. So if his father had eaten chaylev and set aside money for a korban and then died, maybe we should think that the son should be able to use that money for a chatas, for breaking Shabbos, let's say. Because after all, sharei od megalecha l'mois of ibn Nezirus bizman chain stumen v'lo bizman chain meforoshin. After all, we see that a man is able to use the money that his father set aside for Nezirus in certain cases, namely when the money is stumin and not when it's meforoshin, as we touched on before. Still, Talmud Lomar, note the Braisa still says, even then, even then, we say that we have the third time when it says korbano, and from there also we learn that he can only be yotze with his own korban and not with the one for his father, and that would be, in other words, not just the korban, but also the money. So far, what we have is that based on the three times that it says korbano, So we exclude from that he can't use his father's animal if it was chamura to kala or kala to chamura. He can't even use his father's animal even if it was kala to kala or chamura to chamura. He can't even use his father's money if it was from kala to chamura and chamura to kala. And then the Braisa goes through one more possibility. Yochol lo yetze, but yochol lo yotze b'moris shehifrish afilu min akala ala kala or min achamura ala chamura. Maybe you would say, okay, you can't be yotze with money that his father set aside, even from kala to kala, or even from chamura to chamura. Maybe though, if he himself set aside an animal for his own korban, then he could transfer it from kala to chamura or to chamura to kala. So in other words, if they forget about father and son, now let's say, for example, a person himself was over on one iser that makes him chayiv chatos. Later on, before he had a chance to bring a korban for it, he is over on another iser that makes him chayiv chatos. Maybe we should say that now he can transfer that korban and use it for the different avera. No, Talmud Lomar korbanai al chatosai. No, therefore the pasuk says his korban for his sin, meaning adchi yehi korbanai l'shum chetai. Only if his korban is for the sake of his sin, so he can't transfer it from one to the other. And then the Braisa will continue. Then the Braisa will continue that we have another case where he set aside money where maybe he could transfer it from one to the other. And then after we bring the rest of the Braisa, then Rava is going to bring up his point that on the face of it, again, since the Braisa mentioned Behema, then the implication is that it should mean even a Balas Mum. For the same reason, as we said before, once the Braisa is mentioning both animals and money, then we should assume that it means to make a distinction across the board between animals and across the board between money. So any kind of animal, tamim or bal mum, would be in the same category. So we'll continue that tomorrow, Bas Hashem.